Thank you, sir. Thank you, everybody involved in the service here this morning. It's good to be back. I'm alive. Hallelujah. Yay. I was laying down on the couch with the flu and cold or whatever it was. I don't even know what it was. And I yelled up to Cindy upstairs. I said, Cindy, I know what it's like. And she goes, What are you talking about? And I said, giving birth. I know what it's like. I know what it's like now. So, no. And she's like, get over yourself. Get better, you know. Anyway, it's good to be here this morning. I got one announcement. It's my wife's birthday today. Happy birthday, Cindy. Man, did she ever hate that. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for the time that we could have together. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We give this service to you. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We love you, Jesus. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this morning I'm going to preach a message that I prepared a while back, and I actually preached a while back. Obviously, I added to it and did a whole bunch of fixing up on it, but I'm excited for today. This baby dedication or child dedication is a wonderful service, and it's just a great time to come together and really exalt children, parents, and our congregation, and challenge the parents in the congregation as well. You know, babies and children are amazing. What a blessing from the Lord they truly are. And I often said this, that, you know, a church that has children is a church that's alive. It's a church that's growing. It's a church that, you know, really considers families. What a blessing they truly are. You know, we all care for our children's physical needs, but do we consider their spiritual needs is a question here today. Most children that grow up outside the walls of the church will miss out in these things that I'm going to read to you here this morning. And I have six of them. Number one, salvation found only in Jesus. Number two, teaching and instruction found in the Word of God. Number three, fellowship and true friendships. Number four, community and involvement. Number five, correction and instruction. And number six, encouragement and love. You know, I was listening to James Dobson one day. I was driving down the road listening to the Christian radio station. Focus on the Family came on, and he was discussing with one individual who ran the Awana program. He was talking about the importance of fathers, mothers, grandparents, guardians in the lives of children. And you see, I think that a lot of times that we forget that, you know, us as immediate families, say mom and dad, you know, with our children, we forget that grandparents pour into their kids' lives tremendously. Guardians, aunts, uncles, what have you, they pour into these lives of children just tremendously. You know, I told my son Dawson one time, it was right around the time that our granddaughter was born. Her name is L. Elizabeth Kent. And when she was born, I said to him and his wife, I pulled them aside. I was looking right at them. I was in their living room. And I said, this is what you need to do. I said, you put Christian music and hymns on in your home. You fill that little girl's mind and her heart with the music that points her to heaven. Fill her mind and her heart with it. And then I said, I told them that she will never forget it. And it'll teach her about the love of Jesus. Read the scriptures to her. Teach her. Let her hear that music that points her to heaven. You know, it is so important for this day to take place because we are saying, number one, I'm dedicating my child to the Lord. Number two, we as parents promise to bring our children up in the Word of God, in the love of Jesus, and in the faith. And number three, we will care for their spiritual needs as long as we have the opportunity to speak these words of life in their life. Because guess what? Moms, dads, grandparents, sometimes when these kids grow up, it's over. You can hardly speak another word into their life. They grow up, they move away, what have you. We miss out on that opportunity, so do it when they're young. Number four, we as a congregation promise to help bring these children up in the Word of God, the love of Jesus, in the faith, and alongside the parents. We come alongside the parents and we compliment them. We don't get in the way. We compliment them. We come alongside them, encourage them to keep going. Maybe they need that little tap on the shoulder and hear, great job, you are good parents. Do we do that enough, Christians? Sometimes we don't. We're guilty of not doing that enough. But they need to hear it. They need to hear it. What does God think of children? Well, in the Bible, they are spoken of as five different things, a lot of different things, but I'm going to concentrate on five different things. As a heritage, a legacy, a reward, a prize, and a gift. Psalm 127:3 says this, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." So think of that for a moment. God sees children as a heritage, a legacy, a reward, a prize, a gift. That tells us this morning that our Father in heaven loves, cherishes, and adores children. The title of today's message is, Why Dedicate Your Child to God? Why do it? And I've done a lot of these services over the years, I must admit. We had a very busy growing church. We had a lot of babies in our church that we left to come here. And I just always found this service just truly a blessing. What is any more helpless than a child? Truthfully, think of that for a moment. What's any more helpless than a child? When born, they can't clean themselves, can't feed themselves, can't learn many things without being taught, and they can't care for themselves, obviously. They're literally helpless. They truly are. Some of you ladies sitting here this morning said, you just described my husband. But believe this or not, I believe God has made it this way for a reason, for a reason. Think about it for a moment. The first 2 years of a child's life, they need this. They need this constant care, love, connection, and that forms that parental bond with that child. A love for them, and they love you because you care and love for them. And that is a wonderful thing. That connection, that correction that they even need. You know, this leads me to just think of putting yourself aside. It truly is. You think of a woman at night when you have a crying child. You know, our granddaughter's sick right now. And I know that she gets up, Jessica, she gets up, she's exhausted because guess what? She's sick too. She can't just lay in bed or what have you. She's getting up while she's sick to care for a sick child. She's putting herself aside to care for this child. And it really gives us a picture of the love of a mother, the love of a father. You know, then that child learns to love and trust you. And you learn to love and cherish that child. In turn, you're forming a loving connection with one another. That connection is deep. You know, we as a family, we traveled a lot of road trips, a lot of time on the road. We were down, I took the kids all over the place, my wife and I. And we used to get into great discussions, you know, they talked a lot. Actually, to be honest with you, today they talked too much. It actually annoyed me. And I'd be like, man, go to sleep already. But anyway, we'd be driving and they'd ask us this question. But one time, I remember this, my middle guy, just a little fella then. And he said to me, he said, we were just talking about, you know, there was a bunch of break-ins and things going on in our area. People were entering homes unwanted. And he goes, Dad, if someone broke into our home with a gun and they aimed it at one of us three boys sitting in the back here, would you jump in the way of the bullet? He asked me. You know, that's a guy conversation, right? Yeah, boys for you. And I said without hesitation, I said absolutely without even questioning it. Your mom and I would jump in front of that bullet, no question, to save you. And the reason why is we love you more than we love our own lives. And we are willing to give our life because we love you more than we love our own lives. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Did Jesus do that for you and I? He loved you more than he loved his own life, and he gave himself for you. You see, John 15:13 says, "His greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend." And in this case, lay down his life for his children, or their lives for their children. I was looking through some commentaries even on this verse just to kind of back this up. You'll see where I'm going in a moment. Burns says this, "Greater love, no higher expression of love could be given than life is the most valuable object we possess." And we can say amen to that because it is. And when a man is willing to lay down his life for his family, friends, or his country, it shows the utmost extent of love. Even this love for a friend has been rarely witnessed in very few cases. So my question is this. If we are willing to die for our children's well-being, are we willing to sacrifice for their spiritual well-being? You know, I see a lot of families that have forsaken church, forsaken fellowship, forsaken even Christianity. I've seen it. And I've seen them just sell out to the world of sports, sell out to everything else outside of bringing your child up in the church. And I have seen countless, and I'm being honest here, I can't even count them, countless kids want nothing to do with the church, with the faith, with the Word of God, with fellowship with other Christians. They're in the world and they're sold out to the world. Are we willing to sacrifice for their spiritual well-being that far surpasses anything physical? We are talking eternal heaven here or eternal hell, truthfully. We are. The reason why we do baby dedications is found in the faith of the parents. You see, remember, young children do not have the capacity or the ability to believe. The parents are saying today that they are bringing their child up before the church and before God to dedicate them to the Lord. This shows us here today that the parents have faith in God and have faith in the Word of God, and they want their kid to do the same. They also are saying that they want their child to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. That's their number one desire. And guess what? That's a real good desire to have. This dedication does not make these children Christians, but we pray that one day this is seen as the starting line of their faith. I know you know Jesus now when they're 12, 13, 14 years old perhaps, but I remember when I dedicated you to the Lord. I remember that we prayed over you and we promised God that we were going to bring you up in the faith. We were going to bring you up in the Word of God. And the congregation promised the same. This dedication is so important. So I got a question for you. How does God treat children? Well, let's look into the Word of God. As my brother this morning read here in Mark, if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we're going to go through a bunch of scripture together, and this is what it says in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them and laid hands on them. Culturally, you go back in time, you try to find out what this text truly means and what's going down here. What were the guys thinking here? The disciples, what was on their mind? What was on their hearts? Well, in the Jewish culture, men had a poor attitude towards women and children. They were meant to be seen and not heard. And men had the authority. Men had the last word, and men ruled the home and places of worship and places of business with an iron fist, truly. In this text, people were bringing children to Jesus. And we can guess here, truthfully, if you look at other portions of Scripture that tell the same story, that it was women and possibly mothers here. But the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus heard and saw this, the Bible has a very interesting word for it here. He was indignant. The question is, what does that word mean, indignant? It means Jesus had righteous anger and a strong displeasure at a perceived injustice or sin or some form of moral corruption. That's what this means. So Jesus dropped the enough is enough bomb here, truthfully. He did. He dropped it right here with the way men treated women and children. You see, we see this in other portions of Scripture too, where Jesus took on the culture. He took on the people. He took on the attitudes. And then in this portion of Scripture coming up in John chapter 4, we see this when Jesus bumps into the lady at the well. And it says this in John 4:27, just then his disciples came back. Now listen to these words. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. They marveled at it. But no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? Again, going through my commentaries, Adam Clark's commentary said this about why the disciples marveled. They marveled that he talked with the woman because it was contrary to the custom of the Eastern countries. And there are many written laws among the rabbis against it to the present time. If a man meet even his own wife in the street, he does not speak to her. Wow, I wouldn't want to go home that night. I'd be in trouble. So in saying that, back to Jesus and the children in Mark 10, he said these words in verse 14. Look down at your Bibles, they're up at the screen. Let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Many people act with hostility and abuse towards children, but not Jesus. Not Jesus. The heart of Jesus towards children is seen here. Another portion of Scripture that shows what child dedication looks like is found in 1 Samuel. And I know that many of us have read this story. We know it off by heart even. And it says this, after years of being unable to conceive, Hannah prayed to God for a son. God blessed her with a son who was the prophet Samuel. Then she promised the Lord to dedicate him to the Lord and his work. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 1, 27 to 28, these words, for this child I prayed for this child that I'm having. And the Lord has granted me my petition. He answered my prayers that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. You see, what we need to do as parents, grandparents, guardians, is recognize that your children are a precious gift from God. They are answers to prayer. Cindy and I had trouble having children. Her sister had trouble having children. And I will tell you, we know what a precious gift children truly are. Like Hannah, you need to release your ownership of your children to God. Give them to God. Trust that the Lord is responsible for them and he already knows the plans he has for their life. Trust in him and his plan for your children's life. Some of you today may be struggling. Maybe your kid is not living for God. We have one. We talk often that he's working on his testimony because we have faith that one day he will fall in love with Jesus. But most importantly, God has charged all parents to teach and show these children His way, His word, and His glorious gospel. Now that we talked about the moms, let's talk about the spiritual responsibilities of the fathers. Fathers, hit the deck. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You know, in their home, the Bible talks about the man being the head of the home and how important it truly is. Ephesians 6:4 warns us, fathers. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but, listen to this part, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bring them up that way. So we can confidently say that the man is called to be the spiritual leader of the home. Some single moms and grandmas, maybe even here today, have done that. They fulfilled the father's role in the home as a spiritual leader because there was no man there to do it. But yet they did it. When you consider the Passover feast, it was the man, then their household, that were to put the blood over the doorposts for the protection of their families. Spiritual protection. And I want to read that portion of scripture to you today so you understand it, that that man was called to protect his family. And in Exodus 12:3, it starts off there, and I want to read it to you this morning. It says this, "Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man should take a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb for a household." Skip down to verse 7. "Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat." Then it says this in verse 13. "The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." What a beautiful picture of Jesus' sacrifice. Amen. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. His blood was shed. It is over that family. You see, when I came to know the Lord Jesus, I'll never forget what the blood of the Lamb meant to me. I'll never forget it because I was a wretched man living a wretched life. And when I fully understood what that sacrifice of Christ on that cross meant to me and how that blood being shed covered my sins, my dirty, broken sins, and I understood truly, truly what it meant to be redeemed, to be forgiven, to be under the blood of the Lamb, I will tell you something. I was never the same. Never. To know that God is willing to take away the sins of the world still to this day should keep every single one of us in awe. In awe. We need to train our children. Proverbs 22:6 tells us, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Release ownership of your children to God. Realize that God has left it up to you to show this child the ways of God, the truth of God, the word of God. Here is what you can do to be a better parent, grandparent, or guardian to your child. There are four portions of scripture here I want to read to you quick. I had all kinds of scripture, and I thought, man, this sermon's going to be 2 hours long. I got to cut this puppy down. But teach diligently. It doesn't say just here and there. All the time. Teach when you can. Every moment is a teaching opportunity to teach a child about the Lord. You know, I would get up in the morning, I remember my kids, and I'd open up the blinds and they would look out and the sun would be rising, coming up in the morning, and I'd say, "Hallelujah, look at God's creation." Just as simple as that. And then we'd sit and have breakfast together and we'd pray over that meal. "Thank you, Jesus, for providing this meal for our family. Hallelujah." Deuteronomy 6:6-7 says this, "And these words that I commanded to you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them. Do you hear that? When you sit in your house, no matter what you're doing, sitting there, tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the Bible. Tell them about stories in the Word of God. Fill their mind and their hearts with the Word of God. And when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Number two, tell your children about all the wonderful stories and the truths in the Word of God as well. Psalm 78, 1-4 says, "Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the word of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old." Verse 3. "Things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from," what does that say? That's right, from their children. "But tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done." Tell them about the wonders of God. Fill their hearts and their minds. Being taught, number three, by the Lord produces peace in a child's life. Do you know that? Anxiety in children is through the roof right now. Through the roof. You can meet countless anxious children all the time. And yet, here the Word of God says in Isaiah 53:13, "All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children." Number four, if your child needs it, hear me out, discipline them. You got a bad kid? Discipline them. Do it. Don't listen to this culture that's telling lies, deceiving, saying don't discipline your child, just let them run wild. Don't do that. You'll regret it. Maybe not right now, but trust me, you're going to regret it later. Proverbs 19:18 says, "Discipline your son, for there is hope. Do not set your heart on putting him to death." See, we are living in a day and age that's doing its best to take not only you out of church, but taking your child out of church and away from God. Protect that. Protect it. Bring your kids to church. Bring them up in the church where they can be around fellow believers. They can hear the Word of God. They can learn. They can understand how to get along with other kids, form friendships, fall in love with Jesus. All right. Right now we're going to have the Pimentel, Harbridge, and Anania families come on up. We're going to have one here in the center, two over here, and at the same time, we're going to have our elders come up. The names of the children are, hopefully I get this right, Jasmine, Noah, and Lucas. Did I get that right? Yeah? Say boo if I didn't, it's okay. All right, elders, I already picked three elders to come up, three families, just one in the center here, a couple over here would be great. And as we are preparing to have a parental and congregational charge, we must understand here that Joseph and Alicia, see, I told you I'm terrible with names. They have a connection to this church, obviously. They're family and that. I just want to explain this out so you understand it. But they do not attend this church here. And I want just the congregation to understand that their charges will be for their families, to their families. The ones watching online that know them charges are going to be to them, for them. So the questions that are asked, they're going to be geared towards them. So here first is the parental charges, the promise before the Lord and this congregation. They are going to answer by saying, "We do." First question, do you recognize this child is a gift from God and give a heartfelt thanks to God for this blessing? We do. Amen. Do you now dedicate your child to the Lord who gave them to you, surrendering all worldly claims upon their life in the hope that your child will belong fully to God? Do you pledge as parents that, with God the Father's help, you will bring up your child in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, making every effort with patience and love to sow the word of God, the character of Christ, and the joy of the Lord into their life? Do you promise to provide through God's blessing his or her physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual needs, looking to your heavenly Father for the wisdom, love, and strength to serve them and build them up in the faith? We do. I think I heard one, we do. Okay. I'm deaf, though, so. Do you promise to make it your regular prayer that that by God's grace your child will come to trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of their sins, and in this faith follow Jesus as Lord and obey his teachings? We do. Congregation, please stand up. You will say, "We do as well." Do you promise as a congregation to come alongside these parents and help them to raise this child up in the Lord? Good. Do you promise as a congregation to teach this child God's word, encourage them in the Lord, and love them so that they will see Jesus in us? Do you promise as a congregation at all times to steer this child towards Jesus and his wonderful salvation? Elders, lay hands on the parents. On behalf of the leadership and congregation of the First Baptist Church, Ponoka, we accept this charge to help raise these children up in the faith with the help of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Let's pray together, all eyes closed, heads bowed. Children are a blessing from the Lord. It is all of our responsibilities to raise these children up and to help raise these children up. When at all possible, speak words of correction, love, and edification, words of hope and peace into their lives. Help us as parents and the congregation to let them know that they have a God who loves them and cares for them. And most importantly, they have a Savior named Jesus who loves them and who has died for them. Lord, help these parents, Lord, to raise these children up in the faith. Steer them towards the Word of God, to salvation found in Jesus Christ alone. Lord, we love you. We praise you. And Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know you as Lord and Savior or watching online, I want them to know that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all sinners in need of a Savior, and all Jesus wants us to do is confess our sins to him, trust in him, in what he did on the cross at Calvary, and then in turn, live for him, give our life solely to him. Lord, bless everyone here, including these parents and these families. Use them, Lord, for your glory, your honor, your praise. We pray in Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. You can be seated. Worship team, come on up. Just so you understand, congregation, that there's going to be some elders that come up to the front when the service is over. If you want to come up for a prayer, or there's anything in your life that you need help with or direction with or what have you, then please come on up and meet our elders that are sitting in the front row. They would love to pray with you and encourage you today. All right? God bless you.